Worshipping, a couple of verses came to me. These are in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And he said to me, that is, Jesus said to Paul, the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And very often we feel weak when we come before God. We feel that we have nothing to offer. But in that state, in that position, it says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." God can work with weakness. He works with weakness. And he goes on, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And so if you're here this morning and you are in a position of weakness, it is to your advantage, because what that means is you can no longer rely on yourself. We have to put our trust in God. And so that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to put our trust in God as we listen to his word and believe that God is going to break through into your life. No matter who you are, no matter how long you've been on the way, whether that might be a week or 40 or 50 years, God still wants to break in into your weakness and make you strong. Okay, now I have got some notes somewhere. Are they on the desk? Excuse me. You all thought you got away with it then, didn't you? Right. Okay. One of the things that I find as I read scripture, and this is one of the real challenges, I believe, for Christians, those that put our faith in a living God, those of us who are here this morning, I think there's a real challenge in the Word of God to all of us, and it is a consistent challenge. And I've just been reading through some of the letters of Paul, and this phrase that's behind me is something that turns up continually. It's not just a one-off, it is a continual statement throughout the Bible of the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. So we don't just talk about our God, we want to see the power that he carries. Now, a lot of us are very good at talking, aren't we? Aren't we? This is my family from Scotland. All of them, my mother included. This is my cousin Gordon and my cousin Fiona. They've come down to see us, and we've sat them over there out the way. And Gordon talks a lot, never stops. But we're very good at talking. Some of us are great at talking. And the children are with us this morning. You'll just have to ignore them. They're enjoying what I'm saying as well, as you can tell. So we're good at talking about kingdom. We're good at talking about God. We're good at knowing about who he is. We're good at knowing about what he is capable of doing. But what we want to do is experience his power. Because what God is saying is it's not just about words, it's about power. We want to experience the power of God in our lives. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 2, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power." So you can listen to some great preachers, great talkers, great communicators, but unless there is a demonstration of the power of God, then it's just talk. Now, you're very fortunate this morning that I'm neither a great preacher nor a great communicator, but I believe that God is powerfully working in my life, and we want to see the demonstration of the power of God amongst us right now. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. We will. We'll bring it on. I think we know about the power of God, the creative power of God. It says He brooded over the earth that was without form, and it was void. There was nothing there. And out of nothing, he created what we have today. What a powerful God we worship. What a powerful authority that he is, that he can take of nothing and create something. And in many ways, that's what he's done in our lives. He's taken us as nothing and he's created something beautiful. And he continues to create within us as we journey with him. He works with us day by day to create something beautiful. The word power is, I suppose it's quite individual. When you think about power, what do you think about? You can answer that question if you want. Power, what is it?
Strength,
physical strength. That it? Is that the best we can do? Electricity. Power is all around us. But we've got to access power for it to be available for us, like we do with electricity. We've got to access the power to see it work. And we've demonstrated and experienced the power of God through Jesus Christ this morning. He is our conduit. He is our contact with the power of God. Because of what he did, he overcame the power of sin and death, and he put us in direct contact with our Father so that his power can be transferred from heaven, if you like, into us. That's what Jesus achieved when he died for us on the cross. He sacrificed his life that we might experience the power of God working in our lives. A power is a force that is strong enough to overcome those things that come against it, those things that stand in front of it. And the power that is contained within the Bible is multifaceted and all-encompassing for life. If the Bible is just a book, then its impact on the world and in our lives is minimal. But if it contains the power that we read about, then there must be a demonstration of power that evidences that our God is real and that he's working in our lives. Power always does something. The word power in Scripture is, we just have one word for power, don't we? We use the word power. But as we delve into the meaning of power, it has 7 or 8 different meanings in the Greek. And I'm not going to go through all those because I can't pronounce the words. But the word power means it has a capacity or the ability for success. In other words, I can say it, but I can do it as well. I have the power to do what I say. And very often we say we are going to do something, but we have no power to do it. When God says he's going to do something, he does it. He's a powerful God. It's an authority or a right to act. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the creator of the universe. He is in a position of authority and power. And this power is delegated to us as believers. It's a manifested power as in a reigning authority. So he is a king. He carries a power within him. So when he says something, he has the authority to see it happen. And it's a great force, a mighty strength or energy. So when we're talking about power, it encompasses the whole of this in one word. In short, the power of God is an authority above all authorities, has a capacity to fulfill the will of God, and a great and mighty force that overcomes anything in its way. We serve a powerful God. So what does this power do? When we read about the power of God, what is it power to do? And I just want to run through some simple thoughts about what God's power does in our lives. First of all, it's the power to save. The power to move us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of life through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:17 this: "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, not that with wisdom and eloquence," not my words. There's got to be more than words to this, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, what is it? It's the power of God. It's the power of God to save us. He has a power over sin and death, and he saves us. But it's not just a one-off experience. God is saving us every day. He empowers us to live as Christians every day. It's a daily experience to live in the power of God. Hebrews 2 says this, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared their humanity, so that his death may break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus has an authority over the devil, over the enemy. And he demonstrated this by his death and his resurrection. The enemy cannot stand against him. He has broken the power of the enemy in our lives. We have a powerful God. In Philippians, he says this, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in death. There is a power in the resurrection of Jesus. It says that power that raised Jesus from the dead courses through our mortal bodies. What Jesus did on the cross is accessible to us as believers because he's living in us. He gives us the power to live like he lived. So Jesus, when he came, he gave us the power to be saved, the power to live in that place of overcoming day by day the enemy in our lives. He strengthens us to overcome sin, to overcome temptation, to overcome all the things that will come against us. Jesus has empowered us to overcome that through his salvation. His power is supernatural. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling, that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed promoted by faith. So in our lives, he's given us power to do good things. It says in Ephesians that we are born again, we are brought into the kingdom, and he's got good works for each of us to do. But he doesn't leave us to it. What he's telling us is that when we begin to walk with him, and we begin to take up our cross and walk with him daily, then he empowers us to do those things that we are called to do. He empowers us to bring fruit into our lives. Very often the things that we think are not possible, when we begin to live by faith, they become possible because of the power of God. Here, we talk a lot about how God makes impossibilities possible. And it's one of our key values. Because if we don't believe that, then we're so limiting to what God wants to do in our lives. So the things that we find impossible, and that will be different for each of us, because each of us lives a different life. We live in different ways. But the challenge of the cross is that the things that you cannot do, he can do. The things that right now you're going, I can never do that. I can never overcome that sin. I can never overcome that thing, that pain, that loss. I can never overcome those things. Those things that are deep down in our lives and in our hearts that we have tried and tried and tried to overcome. Paul is saying that those things that are impossible for you are possible with God. The impossibilities can be moved to probabilities when we put God in. I think when we know and understand about the power of God, and we do, because we read about it, we've declared the power of God in our worship this morning. We've kind of recognized he is a powerful God. The only limiting factor in our relationship with him is us. We're the ones that limit God. It tells us in the Bible that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never change. His power will never diminish. It will always be the same. His heart towards each of us will always be the same. He loves us. He pours his grace into our hearts and into our lives. He wants to see us flourish and thrive. The limit in all of this is us. Sometimes we don't know how to do that. Sometimes we don't want God to do that. We limit him by not allowing. Sometimes we don't have faith, or we don't put our faith into action. If we want to see the power of God move in our lives, then we've got to trust him, we've got to believe him, we've got to put our faith into action so that he is given permission to come into our hearts and begin to demonstrate his power by making those impossible things possible, by showing us that his salvation is more than just a one-off experience, but it's a day-by-day lifestyle with him where he empowers us. He empowers us to live and do the things that he's called us to do. There's always a challenge when we read the Word of God. There is always a challenge. The Holy Spirit is here this morning and he's revealing to our hearts truth. He may be challenging you on some things. He may be convicting you on some things. But the great thing about God is that when we feel weak, then he can do something in our lives. When we have come to the end of what we believe we can do, when we put our trust in him, he begins to move and demonstrate his power. So you said before that you're ready to see a demonstration of the power of God. Are you still ready? For us to see a demonstration of the power of God, we've got to move ourselves. We've got to take that step of faith. We've got to not just listen to words, because words are very easy to say and sometimes they're very easy to receive. But if we really want to see the Church of Jesus Christ demonstrating to our community, demonstrating to this world the power of God, then we have got to take that step of faith. I just want to pray right now that you and I, and only you know what's going inside of your heart and inside of your life. You know right now where you need the power of God to be demonstrated. And I just want you to focus on that right now. And allow the Holy Spirit just to begin to work and to reveal that there is a power greater than what you've got going on inside of you. This power that just breaks every chain, breaks every circumstance, breaks every emotion, breaks the physicality sometimes that we battle with. This power of God breaks everything. We're going to pray right now that God breaks into your life. Father, we just thank you that your kingdom isn't just about words. Because if it was, it would have no effect in our lives. But behind the word, there is a power that is demonstrated here in our lives. A power to break through, a power to make a difference, a power to break every chain. And Lord, I just pray right now that as we are just thinking about those things that we can't do, thinking about those things where we need the power of God to be demonstrated, I pray that there will be a move of the Holy Spirit right now. Lord, that you'll break into our lives. Soften our hearts, Father. Rekindle our love and our passion for you. Or do something this week. Do something today that demonstrates who you are in our lives. Amen. Amen. I'll pick some more of that up next week. We were trying to keep it to an hour. And we know that whenever Sue leads, we always overrun. We have a little joke about that, but it does. Yeah, amen. Yeah. Go on, Sue.
I've lost my list, so Mark's lost his notes. I've lost my list. We're doing great, aren't we? I just want to kind of, just after Mark's spoken now, just for you to think of a few things where you could put your faith to test, in a sense, to put your faith in action. Okay, we've got a few situations at the moment. So we've got the situation at Whaley Bridge.